and turn to our show. I want you all to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. We're here, 410-319-8888. In the studio with me, Chauncey Whitehead, fitness professional, owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, community fitness activist in our community. Angela Jean Meadow joins us by phone, a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, who is an expert in nutrition, specializing in type 2 diabetes, gestational diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome and weight management, and affiliated with the Joslin Diabetes Center in Baltimore. And soon joining us, Ms. Ernestine should be here soon. She's on her way. Personal trainer, professional model, the world's oldest competitive bodybuilder at 77 years old. An amazing woman, a lovely woman. And Chauncey, Angela, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How are you, Angela?
I'm doing well.
You sound good?
Thank you.
Good morning, Angela. This is Chauncey. Good morning.
So, Chauncey, you invited Andrew. Tell me where we're going with our segment today.
All right, what we're going to talk about, my fitness mother has put together a community walk for the city. It's not a sanctioned, organized walk. We just get together once a month to walk. And we've asked Angela, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist, to give us some insight and some information as it relates to walking and the benefits that you can get from walking if you have diabetes and just proper nutrition.
Yes, and you know, I always think about small steps to big victories. And big victories are maintaining a healthy weight, which more of us need to do, lowering the risk of weight-related diseases, and feeling good. And walking can do all of those, along with eating healthy.
So, let's just talk about what that means. I mean, when we talk, many people argue that walking is almost a better exercise than running.
Yes. I agree. Walking, we got to walk, Mark. We don't have to run, but we do have to walk. And walking, when you put one foot in front of the other, you take, you know, the stress off of your knees. You take the stress off your hips. You take the stress off your back. Plus, you get to know one another when you're walking. When you're running, it's a little difficult. And you know, I run and I train people to walk and run.
Because when I used to run, when my knees didn't talk so loudly. Then I hated talking when I was running, but I can talk and walk.
that's true, but one of the things about walking too, though, and I'm sure Angela will agree, is that you do want to get to the point where you get your heart rate up. And I tell people, if you can walk the first lap or walk the first 7 to 10 minutes and you're having a conversation, then it's time to walk at least the next 5 minutes where you're not having a conversation.
Well, you know, that is so true, because they actually have found that the desk job was one of the causes for type 2 diabetes.
A desk job, you said, Angela?
The desk job, exactly. So if we get up and move more, even if it was for every 30 minutes, instead of sitting, getting up, and even if we walked up the street and came back down or walked around our building, we're able to really utilize our food for energy, and we feel good. Walking and physical activity gives you a positive mood.
So, go ahead. You going to say something?
Oh, no, I totally agree with Angela. One of the challenges I have is when I'm working with my clients, and Ms. Ernestine and I try to figure out ways for people to get up out of their office and walk around. I always talk about sometimes individuals can find the time to go to the elevator to go for a smoke break. Well, why don't you find the time to go for a walk break? And you could burn some calories and just relax a little bit too.
So what is the tie between that and diet for you, Angela?
Well, you know, I had talked about small steps to big victories. And the tie is that we have to eat better in order to achieve these big victories. And the little small steps that I usually recommend is just starting with eating breakfast. 1 out of 5 people don't eat breakfast. So just eating breakfast. And we know people that actually eat breakfast in the morning are actually slimmer and have lower risk of weight-related diseases. So that's just one small step. Another one is enjoying a half plate of fruits and veggies every day. Fruits and veggies are lower in calorie, they're rich in nutrients, and they're colorful. They look great on our plate.
Yeah, they do.
They look great on our plate and very satisfying. So by doing just little small things, including physical activity and walking every day, you'll you know what? You'll feel better and maintain a healthy weight.
Now, breakfast.
Breakfast. Mm.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest meals, Angela, for people to
right.
to try to do, because they, you know, we have busy days. We have a busy day. We have a busy schedule, and we tend to skip breakfast. Like, oh, it's just breakfast. But that's, you know, the beginning of our day. That's our energy source.
It is, and your brain needs energy. Without that, you're very sluggish. And they've actually done a lot of studies with children. Children that actually eat breakfast in the morning usually have higher test scores and can pay attention much more. So imagine all the adults that go to work every day without eating breakfast.
Well, a lot of students, because what you see in school yeah. with our kids is they don't eat breakfast. They get out there and they get Skittles and whatever else and
mm-hmm.
sodas, and this is their breakfast on the way to school,
sure.
potato chips.
Yeah, we really have to make sure our breakfast is nutrient-rich. And, Chauncey, you're right. We have busy lives, but they have a lot of things to go. So, you know, even if it was grabbing a piece of fruit in the morning, even if it was ready-to-eat cereal with some milk or yogurt, it needs to be something.
Right, Angela. Miss Ernestine and I, we always talk about it takes preparation for, you know, proper nutrition and to prepare for the week. Sometimes you may have to get your baggies out or your little Glad containers and prepare your fruit or prepare your breakfast for the morning, because when the morning starts, the day can happen. It just catches up to you. And I think, you know, preparation is one of the keys that we need to talk about, too.
I mean, it's very simple. I mean, just to throw this out, I mean, one of the things that we try to do sometimes is you take early in the week and you take a I'm obsessive about the food that's in my house, and so I am, about what we buy. I'll eat anything you put in front of me at your home, but in my own home, I'm obsessive about buying, like, free-range eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a bunch of eggs and you hard-boil them,
mm-hmm.
put them in the refrigerator, then every day you'll have a couple of eggs you can grab and take with you.
Okay.
Some bananas, orange, and just roll, you know?
Yeah, those are those grab-and-goes that we were talking about. I always believe also when you get from the grocery store, that is your time for your preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So before you put all the groceries away, this is a time to wash, dice, slice, freeze some things, you know, so you can actually have them prepared in baggies to go. And also, you know, most jobs have refrigerators too. So even if you keep one of my medical assistants in my office, she keeps a box of cereal and a container of almond milk in the refrigerator just in case if she cannot, you know, she ran out the house without something. But being prepared is the key.
I mean, people don't. You don't have to have this big, heavy breakfast laden every morning.
No, you don't.
And I think sometimes we also have this heavy laden breakfast. We think it has to be bacon and eggs and waffles and.
Sounds good, though, Mark.
It does sound good.
It'll slow you down, though, right, Angela? You know,
well, it's all about, you know, my occasional may be different than somebody else's occasional.
Right,
we
right.
consider those occasional foods, and occasional foods are no more than once or twice a week. And that, of course, is, you know, the bacon and sausage,
mm-hmm.
the egg and the cheese, the scrap, you know, all those things. That's occasional. That's not everyday food.
That's right. And say that one more time, Angela. What occasional? How many times do we say that? I want to make sure the listeners get that.
The occasional is once or twice a week. No more than that.
And I would add, the older you get, the more occasional it should be.
I think that becomes frequent.
It does. But you know what? That really impacts us over time. Each decade, when we get past the age of 40, we need to cut back 100 calories. And most people are eating the same way they were eating since they were 16.
That's hard to do, too.
And you know, we have to change our ways. Our metabolism slows down some.
Yes, it does.
And guess what? We have to really start eating better every day.
You know, you're right, Angela.
That's why I always hate young, thin people.
as fit as I am, I realize that, I do fit into that over 40 category that I can't. Because people, one of the things they always tell me, Angela, is that, oh, Chauncey, I bet you can eat anything you want. No, I cannot. And, you know, I bet you can eat like you did when you were 25. No, I cannot. You know, I have to understand my metabolism has slowed down. And so I do cut back on my calories and, you know, understand that you got to eat appropriate for your age, too. And
you really do. You really do. And what people also, it's not always what you eat, it's how your body's metabolizing it.
Mm.
And we don't always think that way. And the one person that's tall and skinny, their body is utilizing food much different than if somebody is short and round. So, you know, we all can't always eat the same things, but if we try to eat healthier and get active, that is the biggest key. And watch our portion sizes.
And watch our portion sizes. Mm. That's another one.
Portion distortion, right?
Yeah, portion. You know, the average size plate is about 12 inches. And in 1960, it was 9 inches. Ooh. So our plate size has
That's
grown.
That's interesting.
Over the years, but, and our waistlines have really paid for it. We have to go back to that 9-inch plate. Mm. So that is your grandmother, your great-grandmother's plate.
Yeah, because you're not going to find that at the local store.
No,
you're
gonna find they're it really small.
And that was also the time when something like a McDonald's hamburger were 19 cents, and they were few and far between because they weren't all over the place.
The accessibility of convenience foods weren't really around. And even in 1960s, the mothers that stayed home, they were actually more active because they were vacuuming. They were doing laundry. Yes, technology and over time has really caused some of this weight gain that we've had. But we just have to go back to old school. Think about 9-inch plates, getting more active throughout the day. And maybe doing some other manual tasks that, you know, instead of the remote vacuum cleaner, really getting up and vacuuming.
Using that broom.
Using that broom.
You wind up using your arms. Your heart rate goes up. And you think about it. You think about, like you said, Angela, old school, the way they used to wash the clothes, by hand. And your heart rate's going up. Your arms are working. Your shoulders are working. Even when Grandma made that ice cream.
Yes.
She still had to work. It was a sweet treat, but she did some work to make that ice cream for you, you know?
So folks, I want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Chauncey Whitehead, the great physical fitness professional and trainer, is with us, along with Angela Ginmetto, who is a registered dietitian, talking about the food intake. Here's what your food intake is, how you address and think about what you're hearing here at 410-319-8888. What's your breakfast like?
Mm.
What did you have this morning or did you not have this morning? Do you have time for it? How do you prepare, you and your kids, or just you? Or you and your spouse? 410-319-8888. And so tell us a bit also, again, about this the walk this weekend. Where?
Walk is going to be at the beautiful, wonderful Druid Hill Park at 7 a.m.
You always do this at Druid Hill Park.
Always Druid Hill Park, 7 a.m. We like to take the walkers, out to the back of the hills, which are up and down roving hills that are about 4 or 5 miles. However, if you cannot walk the hills, we take them around the reservoir. There will be a couple of the walking aids that will walk them on a flat course of the reservoir. So at 7 a.m., we're going to do a little stretch, and then we're going to go back there, and we're going to walk and have some fun and see the beautiful Drew Hill.
So if it's a morning like this, let's say it's a morning, the weather's similar to where we are now, mid-low 50s.
Mm-hmm.
How do people dress to get out? What should people have on?
Okay. The first thing people always want to do is they want to layer, and that's important. But you want to be careful. You don't want to put too many layers on to overheat. And one of the keys is try not to wear cotton as your first layer, because cotton will hold on to the sweat and hold on to the water. If you can find a shirt, the first layer, that will draw the water away from you, then that's the best. And if you layer, try to make sure that you have something that if you begin to heat up, you can take off, a vest or a big sweatshirt. Most important, your ears, your head, and your hands, because they're away from the core of the body. You want to keep them warm. You really want to keep them warm. So you want to make sure that you're layered, but pay attention to your ears, your hands, and your head.
Let's go to the phones at 410-319-8888. Alan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Very well.
Good morning,
Alan.
Good morning.
Yeah, when I used to work at Sparrows Point Shipyard in the summer, we used to wear cotton undershirts underneath so we could actually cool off. So, because the water, the body, the cotton would draw out the water, and then when the wind hit us, it would be like a refreshing breeze. But I, on another subject, I notice a lot of my associates are vegans or vegetarians, and I notice that they are obsessed, in fact, with veganism, and make the, not only their life, but a crusade. And they seem not only to crusade, But they actually, it seems like there's a serious mental problems. and I would just like to ask you, what is your opinion? Because I questioned a woman who called herself doctor, and I was gotten in a world of trouble. And I noticed a lot of cults, like the Hare Krishnas and the followers of Sun Moon, actually use a kind of diet as a way of keeping their people docile.
That's interesting. I mean, Angela, I mean, one of the things I had, my last set of producers were both vegans. This set of producers, one is a vegetarian, almost a vegan. And I know a lot of people who are, my friends who are vegans, for both political and dietary reasons, they're vegans. And some of the healthiest people I know are people who do not have meat in their diet.
Well, you know, veganism and also becoming a vegetarian is I would say it's a move. What I mean by a move is more people are recognizing that if I consume less animal products, I can lower my risk of certain weight-related diseases. All vegetarians aren't always healthy.
That's true.
All vegans aren't always healthy.
And that's true.
So when we keep in mind that if someone planned to make this lifestyle, they have to do it. We call it the right way. And oftentimes, registered dietitians are a great guidance, or they're finding new ways to prepare things, to incorporate proteins. There has been a lot of study on vegans and vegetarians, especially the Rastafari. So they've done studies, and they had lower risk of certain cancers.
Right.
And it's because of the lack of animal products that were causing these free radicals that can cause cancer cells. So I always applaud people that are making this change. We, as registered dietitians across the country, we had a week challenge to become vegan because we can tell people what to do, but we want to see how hard it is
to
follow it.
Very hard.
It is. It's not easy, and it's not an easy task, and it's not always easy to reach all your nutrients. Could somebody go vegan for a day? Yeah. You could try it for a day. You can go meatless Mondays. It's just a way to really encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables and whole grains. That's how I look at it. Don't beat anybody up, and I hope nobody.
No, really. We have to take a break here, but I think that the vegan diet is. We'll have another show just on that. We've done them before. Because there's also people argue for the Paleolithic diet.
Oh, yes.
Which means less meat.
That's huge now.
Less meat because it's the diet that people say we're more used to as Homo sapien, mm-hmm. which is meat's at the bottom of the chain and vegetables are at the top of the chain. But I want to thank both of you. So one more time, tell us about Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, Druid Hill Park, 7 a.m. by the tennis courts, 7 a.m., Miss Ernestine and myself. And hopefully Angela enjoys.
Yeah.
And Chauncey Whitehead, fitness professional, owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, community fitness activist. Always good to see you.
Always good to see you too, Mark.
Disclaimer, he is my trainer. That's not why he's here. But we have many people coming on this segment. Angela Glenn Meadow, a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, affiliated with the Johnson Diabetes Center in Baltimore. Great to meet you, Angela, by phone. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yes,
Angela, could you give out your information so if they need to get in touch with you, Angela?
Oh, sure. People can actually reach me at 410-225-8145, or you can send me an email and go to www.realtalkrealfood.com.
Well, thank you both. We're going to go out with the Big Boppers.
All right, Big Bopper.
Chantilly Lace.
Oh. Let's dance. Let's get ready, Mark.
Yes.
Let's do it. We're going to burn some calories, Angela.
That's it.
Yes.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking. Oh, you sweet thing. Do I want? Will I?